HSBC profits jump as worries fade about bad loans. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. As the pandemic ground economies to a halt last year, banks began socking away money in case they needed to cover loans that consumers and businesses weren't able to repay. Those so-called loan loss provisions became a key metric for investors to determine how badly banks expected their loan books to be hit by losses due to pandemic pressures. Today, though, HSBC, one of Europe's biggest banks, said it wasn't as bad as feared. And that helped it post a 74% rise in profit between July and September, as the BBC's Andrew Wood explains.
It turns out that nowhere near as many loans went bad as they had first thought. So if you add into that, as well as all the cost cutting that HSBC has been doing, that's led to this 74%, three-quarter rise in third-quarter profit compared to the same period last year.
And we've been talking a lot in recent weeks about the troubles surrounding Chinese property giant Evergrande. HSBC has $19.6 billion tied up in China's property sector. Is the bank concerned about the regulatory crackdown of the sector there?
$20 billion is really not very much when you consider, say, like Evergrande has liabilities of more than $300 billion. Obviously, it's a worry, but don't forget that HSBC has an awful lot of cash to be able to buy back $2 billion worth of shares.
Now, Andrew, rising inflation rates are a concern for people all across the world. It's also something that HSBC is keeping its eye on. It said cost projections for 2022 have increased by $1 billion because of those inflation pressures. Is it concerned about that?
Well, inflation will worry any business person. And I think, you know, if you're a bank lending money, you're going to get issues there. But at the same time, if inflation goes up, then that increases the chance that interest rates will go up as well. Remember, they're at, you know, all-time lows at the moment. And if interest rates go up, that's going to be good for profits for banks across the world, because it means that the gap between the interest they pay on deposits and the interest they can get from lending increases. That will be good for them in the longer term.
The BBC's Andrew Wood for us in Hong Kong. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, shares of HSBC ended up 0.4% in Hong Kong today following those earnings results. Checking some other numbers, global stock benchmarks are a little changed. Investors are keeping an eye on the Turkish lira today. It hit a fresh record low after President Erdogan this weekend ordered ambassadors from the U.S. and nine other Western countries to be expelled from his nation. The lira has plunged 24% so far this year. Well, it's been about 2 months since Afghanistan fell to the Taliban following America's troop withdrawal. Today, the World Food Program estimates this winter millions of people there will face starvation unless urgent action is taken. More than half of the population, the WFP estimates, will face acute food insecurity. The BBC's Yogita Lamai has more on that story from one of Afghanistan's biggest cities, Herat.
Even before the Taliban took over in August, Afghanistan was barely surviving due to decades of war and severe drought. But with international funds which propped up the economy now frozen, the situation is rapidly deteriorating. Prices of food and fuel have doubled. People have sold everything they could to get by, and the BBC has been told by some families that they've had to sell a baby to feed their other children. World leaders don't want to give money to the Taliban government without guarantees on human rights and how the funds will be used.
That's the BBC's Yogita Lamai reporting from Herat there. Over the weekend, Chinese state media reported the country passed a new law pressuring local governments to ensure parents balance rest and relaxation of their children with pressure to get good grades. It's part of a wider crackdown on the amount of time young people spend on the internet. Earlier this year, Beijing sought to regulate what it called blind worship of celebrities, and it unveiled rules to rein in commercial activity surrounding fan culture. The BBC's Grace Choi explains the lengths people go to support their favorite celebs and the problems it sometimes presents for brands.
Fans of an idol competition show bought milk from a sponsor in bulk. They didn't want to drink it, only to scan the QR code inside to vote for their favorite celebrity. Some even hired others to throw the milk into sewers. It led to public outrage over spilled milk, and the show was cancelled in May.
People spend a lot of money on products endorsed by their pop idols.
Yun Zhang is a researcher at the Australian National University.
They have these league tables where they actually list the people that actually spend the most money on products endorsed by celebrities. So this is kind of a really colorful and hyper-capitalist way of this celebrity fan culture.
In China, many businesses heavily rely on celebrities to promote their products, especially among hard-to-reach younger consumers who don't go out that often because they need to spend a lot of time studying.
What you have is a lot of younger consumers who are very avidly following certain celebrities that they're interested in.
That's Ben Cavender, Managing Director of China Market Research Group.
And that's sort of a double-edged sword. If they choose the wrong celebrity and that celebrity says the wrong thing politically or says something that angers their audience, it can be very bad for the brand.
That means companies will have to spend much more resources vetting celebrities. There are worries that the Chinese government, which has been tightening regulations on many industries, is also looking to extend its influence over people's private lives. Here's researcher Yun Zhang again.
The government has always been worried about any potentials for mobilization, for organization. It has been seen in other countries with fans of particular Korean pop band being used to mobilize to a political cause to the Chinese Communist Party. That is quite worrying.
Companies now face the challenge of how to advertise their products, working with celebrities while authorities in Beijing take on an ever greater presence with more rules in Chinese people's lives. In Hong Kong, I'm the BBC's Grace Choi for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.